Hi, everybody. Welcome to Strength Depositions. We're sitting here at the world-famous Strength Depot Gym in Plymouth, Michigan. Ice is here with me, Mike, Shane, me. Who else is here? Lawrence is here, and Jen is here. We're trying to get back on the board. Like, life happens sometimes, and so, like, we haven't done a show in quite some time. The shows that are released are, like, prior. So we're just going to – we got a bunch coming up right now, and we're trying to get back into the game. It's kind of like a – like an old gym t-shirt that you just haven't put on in a while. And so when you finally put it on, you just feel good. So welcome back, guys. How is everybody?
Great. Doing great. Thanks.
They're pretty good.
All right. Shane's sitting here eating Jimmy John's. So shout out to Jimmy John's right now. And Jen is Jen's sitting over there talking. So Shane, I know you're getting ready to eat. But we've had a lot of different things go on in the past, 4 or 5 months. One of the things that we've had go on is, I just want to start with Apollo real quick. Tell me about Apollo, because you got something really cool going on right now.
Yep, we have, for the Hope Kids meet they did in Minnesota, I had a bunch of t-shirts made with the gym logo, sent them up there for the kids. And there was a guy from Belleville that contacted me and said, hey, I've got a 2.5-year-old son who, you know, battled a couple things when he was younger, a couple illnesses, and he's always, you know, put into the kid's head, you're going to fight through this, you're a fighter, stuff like that. So the kid loves the Rocky movies and loves stuff like that. And he said he would love one of those shirts. Like, how can I get one? I said, bro, just come up and grab a shirt, you know. So he came up, loved the gym. The kid's, like I said, I think he's 3 now, but it was like running around, playing with the dogs, and then Matt Sorna is the dad. He was kind of looking around at all the equipment we had here and said, you know, if you ever need anything made, and he hands me his card, and he's the operations manager of Belleville Steel, which is a pretty good connection to have. And he said he used to make equipment, used to do this, and he said with the connections we have and with the gym and, you know, all the social media whoring that I do, he said we could be a pretty good team, whore in every sense. He said, you know, we could be a great team, and he made a bar holder, made a couple different things, and then he said that he'd had a company before, and it was named Apollo, which, as most people know, is also my dog's name, so right. We kind of said, hey, maybe this was meant to be. So we've got 4 or 5 different items that he's made. We're making equipment for U.S. Strongman Nationals in June, for Women's Worlds in October, and then we're going to be making some of the equipment for Motor City Strongest Man in March this year also, or 2018, I guess.
So people might or might not know this. They know you as Shane, the gym owner, but you're also an engineer.
Correct.
So like, you have a heavy hand in developing all this, right?
Right, yep. Yeah, typically, we usually go by, like, the log that we have here. You know, Matt and I will go through and do some drawings, and so it's nice to even be at work and be able to draw those things up and bounce ideas off of each other. But, yeah, most people don't know I'm an engineer, and there have been several times that we've been in the car going to events or something, and I'll take a conference call at work and go through a bunch of stuff, and when I hang up, everybody looks at me amazed, like, oh, look. Like, you're smart. And I'm like, thanks, guys.
Surprise!
Not just looks. Not just a pretty face.
Nice ass. I'll get that, too. Like, I'll be talking with friends in the gym and whatnot, and then somebody will ask a medical question, and then you'll start answering in the terms, and they look at you like, wait a second, I didn't know you were articulate. You didn't even swear, you know, so... So that's actually pretty cool going on, and it's kind of like a nice in the inception of it's pretty nice. It's actually for kids, and like, you do a lot for charity, Shane. And I mean, like, I think we've talked about it before, but powerlifters, strength athletes tend to gravitate towards trying to help people, particularly people like, you know, less fortunate than we are. So I really admire that about you. So speaking of charities and whatnot, We just had a, or we didn't, but there was a powerlifting meet that just passed by called Relentless. and we've talked about this in the past. I had to work all through Relentless, so I wasn't a part of it this year, which is kind of a bummer. But somebody was a big part of it. I mean, actually, everybody here was a big part of it. But Isa, you were a pretty big part of it. So tell me about you competed in Relentless, and you also did a couple different things for it. So just give me a rundown about what's going on with that.
So just to recap, Relentless is an organization that raises funds and encouragement and support for families who have kids who have life-altering illnesses. And it culminates in this giant powerlifting meet the first weekend of November every year down at Kirby Church. And so I've been involved. This is my third year being involved in some way. And it was my first meet back to full power in 2 years since I did my first Relentless. So that was really exciting for me. I got to a really slow start with raising money, but in the end, ended up doing really well. Shane let me...
How much did you raise this year?
I think it was like $2,600. I forget the exact amount, but it far exceeded my hopes and my expectations. I mean, and I really, like, that was within the last, like, few weeks, if anything, which was crazy. Shane Tina let me do a Filipino food fundraiser, and for anyone who missed out on it, too bad. It was pretty stressful. I wasn't sure how it was going to turn out, but we were able to get a lot of Relentless family in, some former and current sponsored families, which was really cool. It was my first time meeting the Ridleys, so I was excited about that. Their little boy's so cute. So we had a good time, ate some good food, and that event alone raised about $600. So I was very happy about that. But as far as the meet goes, for me personally, I never doubt myself necessarily, but I didn't know what was going to happen just with some of the past year has been kind of crazy. At one point, I couldn't squat, bench, or deadlift. So the fact that I hit PRs on everything was pretty amazing.
Just to like state that again, she didn't just hit a PR at one lift. Like, you know, a lot of people will go, hey, I want a PR in my squat. She PR'd in every single lift that she had. That's incredible. I mean, that doesn't happen.
Well, thanks. I mean, it was a long time coming. Definitely was frustrating, and it was a long process, but I had some good people supporting me and helping me. So I kind of just put my head down, and I was like, let's see what happens. And my coach, Janae, was awesome that day. So I've never actually worked with her other than, like, with my programming and training. But she was awesome handling me that day, and I know a lot of people think I held back a little, but I kind of just say we had a plan. Now I know I can bust through that plan, so the future is looking good.
So again, for people who might not know, and for anybody who's listened to this show, we did a show with Janae Kroc. And Janae is actually helping program ISA's training. So, Isa, just give me an idea, like, what's some of the differences that you've seen in the way Janae programs, whether, like, things that you've done in the past, or just give me some input into Janae, because I know she's programming for other people now, and I'd like to, like, if she wants to take in more clients, I'd love to have her, like, you know, do that on here, so.
So she definitely is taking clients. I mean, Janae... or as, you know, historically people know her as Matt, has been programming for clients for years. Maybe she took a little bit of a hiatus, but she's back to it. And as far as comparing her to other programs, it's hard for me to say because I've actually only followed a couple programming styles personally. She's definitely has a lot of the old school foundation. You know, whether it be West Side or whatever, but things that are tried and true have worked for years. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Does she follow a conjugate type style?
I don't know how to answer that. I think that's definitely a part of it. She is very good about receiving feedback after every session, especially with, you know, leading up to the meet. I didn't know how my body was going to react for certain things. So that was really cool. She worked really well with me with that. So I just rehired her indefinitely. Yeah.
She's on retainer.
Yeah, pretty much. We've got some huge goals, and she believes in me, which is kind of nice validation there. And, I mean, how could you ask for more from someone who has all the experience that she has and success?
I mean, honestly, like, one of the top lifters of their generation. I mean, like one of the best of all time.
Oh, at Relentless, I had different people come up to me, and, they were, like, maybe hesitant to come up to her and say something themselves, but they told me how she was one of the people that is the reason they got into lifting in the first place years ago. And I'm like, you should have said something. I would have been happy to introduce you. And you know, she's very flattered. And then somebody else pointed out, like, I don't think people realized, like, what an elite athlete was present there. You know, the people just had no idea. Yeah. And of course, everybody's like, oh, I didn't know if I had known. And so
it's funny, you know, like, and she's pretty down to earth. So
oh, yeah.
She's extremely down to earth. And she's like one of the best people that, like, I've ever had the pleasure to meet. And it's funny that somebody would be intimidated by her because she's just, you know, so easygoing, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and the coolest thing about, like, or, like, for me, like, personally, like, I didn't do any of the Relentless stuff. Like, I was busy. I have, like, some things going on in my personal life. But I did get a chance to do you guys hosted a kids meet, a kids Relentless meet. So how did that come about? Jen, how about you tell me a little bit about how that came about?
I'll tell you what I know about it.
Yeah.
It was organized. It was the brainchild, I think, of Becky Wilson. And then dates kind of had to get switched around. And so the date they settled on. Anyway, I think Isa and Beth Thomas kind of ended up taking it over, what Becky started. And it was hosted at Northville CrossFit, or CrossFit Gym in Northville. Hines Park CrossFit. Thank you. A few weeks ago on a Sunday, and it was great. Do you know how many kids we had participate?
Oh, shoot. 40?
Let's say between 40 and 50.
Yeah.
It was so good. Yeah, it was so much fun. And Chuck, your son competed. LT's daughter competed. Audrey. Love my little Audrey. And they were standouts from the day. They both dominated in their tenacity. There's no quit in these kids. It's really, really inspiring.
And they had fun.
They
had fun the whole time. All the kids had fun. There were a lot of kids who had signed up for it, and then there were a few that showed up just because their friends were doing it, and they're like, I want to do it too. Yeah. So the facility was perfect. I mean, I think they've hosted quite a number of competitions there. I don't remember her name, but one of their ladies did the warm-ups for the kids, and she was great. I think all the kids really got into it from the get-go. I mean, we had a lot of experienced people. JJ and Beth took the lead on running it. I was more like a behind-the-scenes, like, support system for her, but she's done this 100 times, and it was so organized. And
that's great.
And we will definitely be doing it again, one way or another.
What do you want to? Want to go over the events that we have the kids do?
So the kids did. I'm probably going to get the order wrong, but they did deadlifts. They did an overhead press. They did stone over bar, which were medicine balls. They did a medley, which was push
a prowler. Pull.
It was push, carry, and...
Right, push a prowler, carry, do you remember?
Sandbag.
Oh, yeah, that's right. A little sandbag.
Yep.
And then a tire flip.
That's what it was. Yep.
It was awesome.
So my son did it, and Ben did it, and, you know, you guys have heard me talk about him all the time, and So like he didn't have like he didn't eat very much the night before. He didn't eat very much that day. He just had something small, and
it's like the rest of us, like yeah. No comp prep ever goes
nothing.
Always something wrong.
And so like he's like I told him that I asked him if he wanted to do it, and he said yeah, Dad. He goes, it's for kids, and he goes, it's for kids that are like that aren't as fortunate as I am. And so, like, he was really excited about doing it. Well, the day of the contest shows up, and he was tired. He didn't really want to do it. And he's like, well, I'll just get over there. I'll just get over there. And so he got there, and you could see him kind of humming a little bit. Like, you could see him a little bit of competition. And so, like, he did the medley, and he didn't place as well as he wanted to in it. And, like, for people who have seen me train him in here, I don't really let him pull a lot. Like, I don't let him deadlift too much. And it's not that I don't agree with it. It's just I don't let him do it that much. I have him push a lot, and I have him, like, I have him push a sled and pull a sled. And then I have him do, like, some,
carries.
Yeah, some carries. And basically that's about it, like some farmer walks and stuff like that. And that's essentially, what I have him do. But he gets in there, and he starts doing the deadlift. And, like, again, he's never deadlift. He doesn't deadlift very much, and he just kind of sees me what I do. And so, like, he gets a really easy weight, and then he gets another easy weight. And then so he gets, I think he did 115 or 125. Or, yeah, it was 125. And then he goes, Dad, I'm going to put all the weight on the bar. I said, what? He's like, yeah, any weight there? He goes, I want it on the bar. So it came to 145 for his age bracket. And at 11, he did 145. He kept backed it. But to be honest with you, he did it. And he was really happy with himself. And then,
but who doesn't cat back when you're at your max?
Yep. And then, he did, like, the farmer walks, and he was fine with it. And he could have did that all day. And then he did some stuff. But at the very end of the contest, he thought it was an actual meet, right? He thought it was, like, he was competing in a meet. And, hey, what's up, Steph? He's competing in a meet, and he thought that was, he needed to win this one. It was the stones over bar. He needed to win it, and that was going to be it, right? So I see him, and he's getting ready to do it, and he's in the corner by himself, and he's just not talking, and he's just got that focused look.
He's in his own.
Yeah, he's in his own. And so I walk over, and I'm like, you all right, kid? Just to check up on him. And he goes, Dad, I'm going to set this so high, nobody's going to beat it. And there's a video on my Instagram of him doing, like, the sandbag or the medicine ball. And he does 20 times in a minute, and there was no stop. There was no give, and there was no give. And LT's daughter was the same way. Like, she didn't give. It was the best thing. It was one of the best things. I don't think I've ever been more proud of him. So it was awesome. So we had a great time. And then Mike, you just had a chance to do your first strongman meet at Battle of the Borders, right?
Had fun.
So tell me about it.
It was a new experience. I had a lot of fun. Came in third in novice division. I have a lot to learn. Wasn't fully prepared. Nutrition was crap. Sleep before was crap.
Speaking of crap.
Having bubble guts and maximal lifting don't mix. Let's just say I earned a pair of compression shorts.
Yeah, so I'm like, hey, Mike, I got some compression. Hey, LT, if you can get a second, too. I had a pair of compression shorts, and I'm like, here, Mike, you can use them. And he's like, Chuck, I keep shitting in your compression shorts. And I'm like, you just earned yourself a pair, buddy. So, LT, you just did your first meet, too, your first strongman meet. Tell me about it.
I did. It was actually my first meet. It was actually my first meet of anything. And, it was a little intimidating going into it, but...
It was Battle of the Borders also.
Yeah,
just to clarify.
But really glad I did it, and it actually turned out really well. I took first in lightweight novice. I think the hardest part was cutting weight for the first time. I cut about 14 pounds. And
how'd you cut weight? What'd you use to cut weight? What was your procedure?
I did a water load. I drank a couple gallons of water for 2 days, and then... cut down to nothing. I'm type 1 diabetic, so it's a little bit harder because I have to eat. I have to eat carbs. So I basically just, measured myself and tested often, and if I had to eat, I ate. And
what'd you measure?
Measured my blood glucose levels and, among other things. And no, it was good. I needed to get 220.5, and I came in at 220.2. So
nice,
just under. Yeah, did really well. It was humbling. You know, I definitely got my butt kicked in a couple events, but you know, other than that, it was a good experience.
Who was your coach for the day?
Oh, my daughter Audrey was my coach. She's 8, and you know, her screaming at me definitely got me a couple extra reps in a couple events, and it was cool. It was very good. Yeah, she had a good time. And she did her first event a few weeks ago, the same one.
Yep,
the same one that Ben did, and she did really well. And she pulled 100 pounds, which, you know, it was a little milestone for her.
And then she did Relentless.
Yep, and then she did Relentless the following weekend and got 105 pounds.
Yeah. She's intense. Has intensity.
Yeah. Focus. Yeah. And it was funny because after she started crying, I'm like, you know, what are you crying for? She said, I don't know. You know, Yeah. It was funny. I think it was just emotional for her. Yeah, right. Yeah, typical woman, but yeah. But no, she loves it here and she loves training and I could see
and
her doing big things. Yeah.
She's got her own locker now. She does. She's got her own locker.
She does have her own locker, yeah.
So isn't it like, what's it like, you know, like seeing Ben do his thing and like seeing her do hers? Like, isn't it, can you describe what it's like to have like your daughter like sharing your passion?
You know, it's something. It's hard to put into words, but, you know, it's really special for me, and, you know, I think I enjoy it much more than she does, just, you know, watching her and training her and, you know, having her come in here and see all the strong women that we have in here, like Isa and Jen, and have them, you know, have her look up to them, and it's a really great thing, and I think it's going to set a tone for her in the future, you know, when she gets older and, you know, has to deal with little boys.
You know, just any, you know, hardships that, and crap that little girls face, you know, in their teenage years. I think, you know, more so being strong, having, you know, strong body, it's really, you know, working out in here and doing competitions and stuff like that will make her mentally tough and able to deal with all the crap that teenager girls got to deal with.
You guys think that, like, how do you guys feel about that? Like, how do you, I mean, we've talked about women in lifting anyway. How do you feel like a kid lifting at Audrey's age, how do you think that's going to carry on into her being an adult?
Oh, we're so polite. God, I'm it's so great to see. I love Audrey no matter what. She's my mini me. I've called her that before. But if she sticks with it, I mean, that'd be great. You know, it's getting a head start. She's starting decades before I did. I wish I would have started earlier. And like LT said, and you said, Chuck, it's about more than, you know, the weight on the bar or the strength, the physical strength you get from it. It's living your passion. It's learning the discipline. It's striving for goals. It's testing yourself and challenging yourself. And, yeah, a lot of things.
You know, and for me, it was a really good opportunity to teach her, you know, not to be afraid to fail.
Yeah,
and it's a good thing to fail. I think that's a good life lesson for a kid.
Great. I remember with Ben, one of the things that I got from, I forgot what movie it was, but I always told him when he was a baby, why do you fall? And he's like, so I can get back up, Dad. And that's it. And it's all about getting back up. And you might not be the best at something, but boy, you can give everything you have. And your daughter does.
Yeah.
She's the best, man.
Thank you.
Shane, how did Battle of the Borders come about? This is your baby, so how did this come about?
Yep, this summer I was home visiting my dad and was driving home. And I remember as a kid, we always used to have a street dance in town where they would, I'm from a town of 900 people, I mean, you guys saw it, and they would literally block off Main Street, and they would have a band, and like that was the summer days, like that was cool. So I was driving home from seeing my dad, and I'm like, you know what, that'd be cool to put a strongman comp here, like back in my hometown, you know, for people to see, and so it fell. So I looked into it, and Summer Days was like the weekend before Nationals. So I'm like, well, that's kind of out, but, you know. I said, that sucks. So I was talking to my buddy Ben, Ben Pfizer, who still lives back home, and he goes, "What if we did it out at the Quality Inn? It used to be a Ramada when I was a kid." And he said, "We could do it out there. A girl that we went to school with runs it. You know, everybody knows everybody." So looked into that, and it was like $700 to rent the place, and it was huge. I mean, the atrium was amazing. You know, there's three levels you could see from all three, and so I said, "Well, let's do it there." And then the school is so small that I'm from that every year we would have to pass some sort of levy to get, you know, athletics for the kids. So I said, we'll do the strongman event here, and then the money raised will go towards the athletic boosters. So then I talked to Willie Wessels, who's the president of U.S. Strongman, told him I wanted to do it, and he said, "I've got an opportunity for you. We want to do the first ever under 82.5 kilograms, 181 pound men's world championships." So we invited the top 10 from U.S. Nationals, and then we sent out 10 international invites. We got two guys from Australia that ended up coming, but that was the first ever under 82, you know, something for the smaller guys. Whenever you think strongman, it's always the half Thors and the Brian Shaws and the big guys. So Willie wants to get more of the, you know, the older guys. We're going to do we haven't officially told anybody yet, but we're going to do a Masters Lightweight World Championship.
So the guys can be strong, right, too.
So he gave me that opportunity. So the 82.5 kilogram guys, 181 pound guys, did the same weights as the heavyweight guys. So that was a 550 squat and the big car deadlift, and those guys put on a hell of a show. So it was pretty cool. So, yep.
So
that log press,
yep.
So I had the honor of scribing for that lane that had the under 82 and a halves, and it was amazing to watch. I mean, I was in awe the whole day. So these are the lighter weight dudes, and in some of the events, they did heavier weights than the super heavyweights. It was insane. And some of there was some, like one last minute change on top of that, and they still killed it. I was in awe.
Yeah, the two Australian guys, the squat event was an axle bar with Jeep tires on the end of it, and it was 550, I think, for them. And the two Australian guys did 27 and 21 reps. I mean, it was just crazy. Like, even when I was setting the weights for everything, I thought, like, maybe that was going to be too heavy for them. You know, I kind of was a little upset. And then to see him knock out 27 reps was
less than Michael, right?
Yep.
Less than Michael. Shout out to them.
Yep. Couple of cunts. The whole time I was talking with these guys on Facebook before they came over, I kept telling them that was my goal, to get the two Australian guys drunk so they would call me cunts. And they said, "Oh, mate, you don't got to get me drunk to call you a cunt." So it was me trying to talk in a horrible Australian accent all weekend.
Speaking of which, we have the winner of the women's right here. So, Jen, you want to talk about that contest? Jen actually won that contest.
Middleweight Women's Open. Yeah, I did. It was a great day. One of the best weekends in memory. Yeah, it was good. And like everybody else, right, comp prep was horrible. I just moved here. I actually, big news since the last time we talked, I moved here. Moved here a few weeks before, and I would like to say that everything went great after that, but it didn't. So I was actually thinking about not even doing the comp just a few days before, just because of all the shit going on, but I'm not a quitter. And yeah, I shocked myself, and actually did use strategy, which was really good. So I won 3 out of 5 events, took second in one, and by the last event, I just had to not zero, and I was good. So I didn't hurt myself, which is always a plus, especially because I'm old. And yeah, it was fantastic. Just an epic weekend.
She's not old, but she did have a birthday on Friday.
And I got even older a couple days ago. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. It was great. Hey, I want a badass sword.
All right.
Hey, Mike, question for you. Like,
Mike also competed.
Yeah. When you competed as well, and LT, I want to get your take into this. Like, you guys have trained powerlifting before, and, you know, you guys have felt that body soreness. What's the difference between the body soreness that you felt in powerlifting compared to the body soreness you felt in strongman?
The next week, I was wrecked, like head to toe, like my arms, like like my body, like my back. Like I was done. I couldn't do anything for a week, literally for a week. I didn't train. Like I was like screwed at work. I didn't do anything.
How about you, LT?
Yeah, mine was more like a month. You know, I didn't train anything for a month. It beat me up pretty bad, but you know, I'm still feeling the effects, and that was end of September. My bicep, my elbows, my joints, tendons especially. It was rough. It was a lot rougher on the body than powerlifting for sure.
And that's why, as the host and the one setting that up, I'm not competing in it. So those events were brutal. And I mean, it was fun setting it up because I'm like, I don't have to do this. So it was a, like I said, a max squat. The squat was max reps in a minute, which was pretty tough. The first event was a wheelbarrow. So you had to load a sandbag. The wheelbarrow itself weighs 600 pounds empty.
Yeah.
And then we put weight on the handles. So it was a sandbag load, 20 feet, sandbag load, 20 feet, keg load, 20 feet, keg load to the end. So
that was a great event.
That was a very cool
It took
event.
Forever to set up, to reset up every time. But.
And the helpers in that one, Craig especially, yeah.
Yeah, the helpers who were resetting everything up sweated through about three shirts each, so.
Craig is always the number one helper.
Yep, always.
And being my first strongman, you know, I didn't feel anything. I think I was so amped up and adrenaline pumping, I didn't feel anything until, you know, about 2 hours later when we sat down to dinner, and it started hurting.
The event took, I mean, it was almost 8 hours long by the time we passed out awards and everything, but, and maybe this is just me because it was my show, but I think everybody had fun. Like, it wasn't, dragging. There wasn't any real downtime.
Yeah,
and
there really wasn't.
Most people stayed and had, you know, we got pretty shitty drunk afterwards, and it was just a good time.
So, if coming from somebody, you've done, I mean, numerous strongman competitions, you've done powerlifting competitions. For you, has it gotten any easier with your recovery after a meet? Or, like, how long does it usually take you to recover, Shane?
I'm old, but, yeah, I usually take the whole next week off for sure and then, like, kind of ease back into it slowly even after that. But definitely a week, if not more, I take off afterwards.
Well, speaking of that, and speaking of meets that you're putting on, the dogs are barking here. Speaking of meets that you're putting on another one, correct?
Yep. Well,
talk about that.
If I backtrack just a minute, the weekend after Battle of the Borders, we also hosted Women's Pro Worlds in Grand Rapids. So that was back-to-back world championship meets, literally on back-to-back weekends. So that was a very busy time. And then March 11th, 2018, I'm going to be hosting Motor City Strongest Man, which is... This is going to be the ninth year. Steve Barkley and I are doing it together this year. He's run it every year before, but he just bought a new.
The dog's farting.
Yeah. LT's got a new dog, and it's pretty gassy. But Steve just took over an insurance agency. He's kind of busy and asked me to help out, so we're going to be hosting that. So it's going to be a U.S. Strongman sanctioned. Strongman competition, and then at the same time JJ Thomas is hosting the UPA Michigan State Powerlifting Championships, so that's going to be at the Brownstown Sportsplex, all under one roof, one time at the same time, and so come out, check it out, watch two events in one.
That's going to be a great meet. Like, not only are you going to have strongman there, you're going to have powerlifting too. So if you're in the Michigan area, or even if you're not in the Michigan area, you're somewhere in the Midwest area, please come out and check it out. It's great. I mean, the meets are run extremely well. Brownstown's a nice venue for it. Not a lot of room, and it's just absolutely fun. And if you want to see people cheering each other on, that's the place to see it.
I just wanted to add, too, that as an athlete, we always appreciate when a meet is run well, when there's lots of great volunteers. So if you're somebody who's in this sport, powerlifting or strongman, and you haven't volunteered for anything, you need to do so. Not just to give back, but you learn a lot.
Not only that, but just like when meets are well run, I mean, it makes you want to come back again. And it's also a positive environment too. You get that positive environment and you have people cheering you on and you have people helping out and you have like, I mean, it's a great environment and it makes you want to lift in meets like that. It makes you want to go to it. Yeah.
I have fun helping at meets.
Because you meet people too. You meet amazing people that like, I mean, you might not ever meet. Like you were talking about Relentless and Janae being there. Like, I mean, Janae, like I said, is one of the best in the world at what she does. And the chances of meeting her, I mean, really, that take advantage of stuff like that, guys.
And for me, what was cool about Battle of the Borders, maybe because of the venue it was at the Quality Inn in the conference room. But, of course, you had seats, people sitting along the side spectating. But then you look up and you see, like, above the balcony, people have started gathering around the edge, like, watching you, like, looking down on you, too.
Almost gladiator-like.
Yeah.
And then the Quality Inn where we held Battle of the Borders, I mean, we had so many people that spent the night and stayed and ate at the restaurant. And the people who own it actually came to me after we still owed them. We paid half of the deposit, so I still owed them another $350. And they told me, don't worry about it. Put it toward. They knew it was a fundraiser. So they said, put that money towards the fundraiser. Your people were so great and so, you know, so respectful. And so it ended up being a really, really positive experience. So.
And again, like, and I've stated this before, like, strength athletes in themselves are genuinely probably some of the nicest people I've ever met. Like, just decent people, like, kind. They care about their kids, that type of a thing. I just find, like, when I went through the transition from aesthetics to strength sports, the difference is just, it's a huge difference. And that's not to denigrate, like, bodybuilding or anything else like that, because that's not what I'm intending to. But I'm saying there's a huge difference between, you see these strength athletes that really could, if they wanted to, walk right through a wall and, you know, beat you to death with your arms, but are just decent, good people. So I find that more and more, and it keeps getting reinforced to me. We are actually heading out to a seminar in a couple weeks. We're going to in Strength Haven. Strength Haven in Indiana, which Tina is going to be training out there from what I understand. Eddie Cohn, Josh Bryant, and Steve Johnson are putting on a seminar, and I just, honestly, I can't wait to go. So, yeah, the group here, like every one of us in the group are heading out there. So there's only a couple spots left. So, I mean, if you want to learn from the GOAT, the greatest of all time, I mean, it doesn't get any better than learning how to deadlift, squat, and bench from these guys. So you've been out to, who's been out to Strength Haven before? You have?
Oh, yeah.
You guys have?
Yeah.
What's that gym like, guys?
It's like a playground. I love it. Yeah.
Dan's got every single piece of equipment you could ever want. I mean, it's amazing. I love it.
So he's got some old school machines, which are really cool. Of course, he's got mono, and he's got benches. He's got, you know, the powerlifting stuff. Plus, he's got a ton of strongman equipment. And now he's got the Annex, which he does a lot of really cool. He does a lot of GPP for athletes there. He trains a lot of athletes. So there's tons of, I mean, I want a vacation there, you know, and I want to check out everything. It's just, yeah, it's super
definitely
cool.
A hidden gem in Elkhart, Indiana.
Yeah. Oh, and plus there's in the Annex, there's also a mat where they do, I think they have wrestling, and do they also do...
He's got a couple MMA fighters at
MMA, yeah. So it's cool. And I know they host yoga there, yoga for athletes. So it's actually really... It's really old school, kind of hardcore, but that's... And he's always, I think, always trying to make it better, always improving, looking for new equipment. And he doesn't buy anything that's not useful or... I hate the word functional, so never mind, I won't use that. But anything that's not a money piece of equipment.
Well, we just got word from ISA. ISA just got done texting Dan, and Dan's going to do a podcast interview with us, too, when we're over there. So when we're heading out to the seminar, Strength Depositions is going to be doing a podcast with Dan. And December 16th is the date. That's the date of the seminar. So we're all going to head out there, and Eddie Cohn's out there, and Josh Bryant, and I'm going to try and see if I can get them maybe on the podcast too. So I know Janelle Vector is going to be out there too. So I'm going to have chirp in her ear to see if maybe I can have her and talk to Eddie about trying to get on the podcast. So let's see how that goes. That's what's coming up. So
and when you talk about good, decent people in the street, Dan Gibson is one of my, and I say this a lot about a lot of people, but Dan is one of the best, nicest people you'll ever meet in your whole life. He hosted Havoc at the Haven was the name of his strongman event. He hosted a couple years in a row. So the first time I went there, it was one of those, like he and I, you know, we'd conversed through social media before, and then we went out there and just hit it up. Like one of those, you hug him the first time you see it, you know. Mm-hmm. And he and I were just sitting there talking, then a couple people came up and they're like, oh, how long have you guys known each other? And we were like, 10 minutes. Like it was just one of those guys, you know.
You're
and then
waving.
We, right. So we sat and talked, you know, most of the day, spent the night. And then he did a fundraiser for one of the guys at his gym. Kid had I'm gonna screw it up, but it's something wrong with his eyes, was losing his vision. Did a fundraiser for that, and I said, absolutely, we'll come down. JR, his cousin, a couple people went down with me, and I told him, yeah, we're just, you know, we'll catch a hotel. And Dan, who I'd met one time, said, don't you dare, here's an address, sends me an address, and says, just stay at our lake house. It's about 10 miles up the road. Mm-hmm. And he told me where the key was hidden. So I'm like, all right. So we go, you know, when you pull up to a lake house, the front of the house faces the lake. So we pull up this, and it's just a little one car garage. And
cottage.
We're like, yeah, it looks like a little cottage. We're like, oh, gee. So go in and grab the key. And he goes, well, that works the front door. So then we're walking down this hill, and the house just keeps going up. And it's this huge, I mean, it's probably a $400,000 house on this lake. And nobody else is there. It's just the four of us who went down there. And then JR, John, was like, who in the hell are you that this guy that you've met one time is giving you the key to us? I'm like, I don't know. We woke up the next day, and they've got, like, three boats out. And we're like, let's just skip this fundraiser and take the boats out. Like, it was holy cow. But, yeah, Dan's just one of those guys. You meet him, and you love him, period.
And he's the most humble.
Yep.
Yeah, he is. He's very humble, but he's very giving.
And a great athlete and a great coach. And
yeah, he's kind of strong.
Else. And he's involved in Relentless and, you know, the other. He does a lot of fundraising, too, like Shane. So I think he's another one of those gems in the community.
Well, I can't wait to go to the seminar just to meet Dan and also just to meet, like, everybody else. So I'm really looking forward to it. So what we have going on is, and coming up, Strength Depositions has been like on a hiatus, and a lot of it has to do with me personally because I've had a lot of different things going on in my life. See you, LT. So what we're going to do is we're going to restart it up again, guys. We've got a couple things in the works. Dan Gibson's going to be coming on as Isa just, you know, confirmed for us. So that's cool. I just talked to Janelle Vector and Jason Fay, and they said that they're going to be maybe doing a return trip over here, so they'll do another podcast. Yeah, Jay Fay. Hey. Kevin Smith said prior that he would come on again, so I'd like to get Kevin's kind of input into things. And no, and again, Tim Hensley, who I'm still going to get, and Tim's still agreeing to it, but I haven't had him yet. Tim Hensley's, in my opinion, the best bench presser of all time. And I'm going to actually try and get Tim up here so Tim can talk about bench pressing. And for a lot of people that don't know it, Tim made himself because, like, we've talked about it in the past. Tim Hensley used to, like, when he came to barbell, he was training with the girls. Like, they used to put him with the girls because he wasn't strong at that point. And now he turned himself into a 800-pound bench presser at 200 pounds. So. Did he? Did he just
pretty
recently?
Sure he did.
I know he hit an 804 at one point. What did he hit now?
I don't remember.
If you can look it up while we're talking about it.
Probably get Tajiro, I'm sure, too.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he just set an all-time world record.
And Mark,
he squatted 810 at 148.
Mark Tajiro is 148 pounds, and he's the best 148-pounder that's ever lived.
Funny story, Derek Carver, who's here. Moved in across the street from Tajiro.
Oh, really?
And small world. And he said that, you know, they got some equipment in their garage. And, Derek was out, and Tajiro came over and introduced himself. And anybody who knows Derek Carver knows he's the funniest fuck. I mean, that guy will crack a joke on anybody, to anybody. And he said, Tajiro was telling him, oh, yeah, I work out, and here's this 148-pound guy. And Derek Carver's like, yeah, I bet you do, fella. Like,
hey,
yeah, yeah, sure you do. And then he said he looked him up and was like, holy shit. I'm like, yeah, yeah, he's probably the best 148-pound powerlifter ever. He's,
Bar none. Mark is, and then, again, like, Tim Hensley, you know, like, in my opinion, is the best bench presser of all time. So what I'd really like to do is get Tim on with Jeff. Get Tim and Jeff on, because Tim and Jeff have been going at it for years, and I'd love to hear the bullshit talk between the two of them. I think that would be amazing. But so we got that coming on. We're going to start probably a question and answer with Becky Wilson about rehab and mobility. I'd really like to get Becky's input onto different things, and, like, you know, she sees a lot. Like, she trains with the Detroit, or she helps with the rehab for the Detroit Lions, and she's just an outstanding therapist and a wealth of knowledge. I'd love to get Becky's input into a lot of different things, particularly like recovery and mobility. And so we've talked to Becky about that, and she's you know, welcome to that. I'm talking to Chad Coy, Strongman Chad Coy. And he wants to come on, and this was a couple months ago, so I'm going to actually, you know, reach out to Chad again. And Bill Parisi from Parisi Speed School has agreed to come on the show as well. Shane told me that he's good friends with Mike Robertson. So Mike Robertson, we're going to try and maybe go out to, you know, what's the name of his company?
iFast.
I always get that confused with OneFast, but iFast. We're going to see if we can maybe go out and see what Mike can tell us, because Mike is just a wealth of knowledge in the field. Probably one of the best strength trainers in the world. Also, we're going to be trying to get some stuff from the seminar. Like, when we go to the seminar in a couple weeks, we're going to take the podcast stuff and see what we can do about trying to find out, like, maybe, you know, any other athletes that might want to talk. But I'd really like to see if maybe we could get, like, you know, Eddie Cohn and Josh Bryant and Steve Johnson on. But go ahead.
I can't remember all their names.
Okay.
But there will definitely be some other athletes in attendance that we will probably want to talk to.
Well, it's going to be like a podcast / seminar then. Iron Bean Coffee I've talked to them also. We're going to try and get Iron Bean. We're going to go down to location and talk to them about their product. And they're just great people from what I understand. There's also in Howell, Legacy Performance Training Center. My buddy Randy over there is one of the trainers over there, and he trains a lot of athletes, particularly like some pro athletes and some other kids, and we're going to try and get him on too. We're going to go on location. I kind of like the idea of going on location to places. It's kind of a new thing, and we tend to do it all the time in the gym, which is awesome, but I still think that, like, going on location would be kind of cool too. So. Yeah, absolutely. Road trip. And then there's also two other people that I'm talking to. A friend of mine named Carolyn was 300 and some pounds. She was always the quote-unquote fat girl. And Carolyn has made herself now into, she looks like a fitness model. I mean, if you see her on Instagram, she looks like an absolute, like, she does. She looks like a fitness model. But I kind of like to get her to come and talk about, her name's Carolyn, and I forget her last name. But I'll forward that to you. But she looks like an absolute fitness model right now, and, like, her story is unique, and it's just an amazing story how she turned her life around and made herself what she wanted to be. And then I have another friend, Natalie Madej. I believe that's how you pronounce the last name. And Natalie is a pro MMA fighter. She fights MMA, and she also is a pro boxer. So Issa just said she wants to do that. I should be fucking somebody up is what she would. Hey, all we got to tell her is, all we got to say is, like, somebody stole her drink.
That guy took your drink.
Yeah. Were you there, Shane? So I think we talked about it before. Like, it was like this big gym party, and
I just met everybody.
That's right. You just came to the gym. So it's this big gym party, and it was at Bar Louie. And so we're hanging out, and everybody's having fun. Jake's doing his yo-yo tricks. Nobody's going to say anything to a 400-pounder doing a yo-yo trick at a bar. And so anyways, we're all having fun. We're all drinking. And Issa goes, Issa's drunk, by the way. She's like, hey, yeah. She's, yeah. And she goes, hey, hold my drink. So Mike takes her drink, and she walks to the bathroom. Mike takes her drink, puts it behind something so she can't see it. And he said, we're going to tell her that that guy, that dancing fool, there's some weirdo dancing like in the corner or whatever, dancing with some people and stuff. So Isa comes back. Where's my drink? Oh, that guy took it. Isa doesn't say a word, just fucking starts beelining towards a guy. I'm like, she's going to fuck him up, Mike.
I was deering him.
Yeah. We're like, she's going to fuck him up. She's just going to, oh, my God. And we're like, Isa, Isa. And I don't know if it was the music or if she was purposely ignoring us just because she wanted to fuck with us or whatever.
I knew you were joking.
Yeah. So she walks up to the guy, and I'm like, oh, shit, now it's coming down. She basically played us, but she was like, hey, man, you know, they said you took my drink. And the guy was like, no, fuck no. Please, God, no. But that was fucking funny shit. So... All right. Honestly, we just wanted to wrap up. We haven't done the podcast in a little while, so we want to do a quick wrap of what's going on and catch up with everybody. The next podcast will be coming out. I believe we're going to be the next time we're going to do the podcast will probably be at that seminar, or maybe before. We might do one prior to that, but. We appreciate everybody kind of like keeping an eye on us, and I've gotten a lot of emails and Instagram messages, where are you, that type of a thing. So I'm sorry, guys, I've been on hiatus. It's not going to be any longer. I realize I need this podcast as a voice, and it's kind of like, you know, like when you go to things that are comfortable for you, that make you feel good. This is one of those things. I just don't realize it until you do it again, and you're like, oh, shit. Yeah. You don't realize it, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but like I said, it's been a couple months since we've done this, but like it's almost like putting on, like I was saying, like an old gym shirt that you haven't put on in a little while, and it's your favorite squat shirt, and you don't put it on because you haven't been squatting, but finally when you put it on, it feels good again.
Might be a little baggy, but...
Yeah, it's going to be baggy because you lost weight, or tight in my case, but... Yeah. But I really miss doing it, and hopefully, like I said, from what I've heard from the feedback from other people, you guys have missed us doing it. So everybody, thanks for coming again, and let's make sure we continue to do this because I really enjoy it. So anybody else want to add anything before we take off? All right. So for Isa, for Jen, for Shane, for Mike, I'm Chuck. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again. Peace out.